Welcome to another edition of the Hockey Path. I am thrilled to be joined by Cornell Big Red defenseman Luke Devlin. Luke, how you doing? Actually, not a defenseman. Your brother Ian's a defenseman. You're a forward. I apologize. There are too many Devlins in the hockey business. What about your dad from Syracuse, New York, who went to Boston College? He was a basketball announcer. Luke, good to have you on.
Great to be here.
Thank you so much. And first of all, let's talk about a day in the life of a Cornell student in Ithaca, New York.
Yeah, so it's definitely busy, and school's always typically coming first up here at Cornell. So, today I'll just go through today. We had morning practice. We be at the rink for around 6:45 in the morning, and then we were on the ice for about an hour and a half. Then we did a lift for about 45 minutes, and then I just got back from two classes. So it's been a busy day so far, but yeah, it's a lot of school and a lot of hockey. So
What's your major?
I'm in applied economics, and then I'm doing a minor in finance as well. So
So you're good in mathematics.
I wouldn't say good, but I'm taking mathematic courses. So whatever that means. Yeah.
That's good. So part of math is understanding where you started and how you got to where you got to, because there are lots of miles involved. You were actually born in Memphis, Tennessee. Not too many hockey guys being born in Memphis, Tennessee. So let's start there. Do you remember much of the beginnings in Memphis?
I really do not. It's actually become a joke on the team this year with because the announcer for the starting lineup, so they'll always say Memphis, Tennessee, and it gets a laugh out of a lot of the guys. But I was only in Memphis for about, I think, like 2 or 3 months. And then my family moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. Where that I do have some memory from. I lived there for about 5 years, and then we moved to Toronto. So, bounced a little bit there in my early days, but been in Toronto now for a while.
So, for those that don't know, your father, Matt, is a legendary play-by-play guy. He went to Boston College. He grew up in Syracuse, New York. The first time I met your father, who's actually broadcasting games for the Toronto Raptors, I was still working for TSN in Canada. And so, your dad, Matt, is the one that you guys were following around. But I know how proud he is of you and your entire family for following him around on that journey. When did hockey start to kick in for you?
Yeah, the hockey started pretty much right when we moved to Toronto, 'cause obviously my dad and then my extended family very focused around basketball, a lot of the more classic American sports, you would say. And then we moved to Toronto, and I remember going to school, and me and my brother had the same exact experience. Everyone was talking about the Leafs, everyone was talking about hockey. We went home, we really had no idea what this sport was, so we asked our parents about it. We asked them to sign us up because all the other kids were playing it. And then from there, I guess the rest is history, because we loved it, really took to it, and enjoyed it a lot. So we just started pretty much a few months after we moved.
Luke, one of the cool things is you went to a place called the St. Andrews College School. So I'm going to date myself, but when I went to Lower Canada College, they were one of our biggest rivals. Now that's in Montreal. You're obviously in Ontario, a little bit north of Toronto. Tell us about that experience at St. Andrews, because I know there's been a long line of Cornell guys and even Harvard guys that went to St. Andrews and eventually moved on either to Cornell, Princeton, or Harvard. A lot of Ivy League kids come out of St. Andrews.
St. Andrews was definitely one of the best experiences I've had in hockey. I enjoyed that a lot. I went there for my grade 11 and 12th year of high school, so junior senior year of high school, and it was amazing. My junior year there was during COVID, so that was a little bit of a hiccup, so we weren't playing any games, but it was great because they have their own facility there, so we were still a lot of the kids in Ontario especially weren't able to get on the ice. So that whole year was really a great development year, because we were able to use the facility, go to the gym, use the ice whenever we wanted to. So that was awesome. And then my final year there was great, because we were back in the swing of things with games. And it was super enjoyable. It was almost like it's a good prep school, I think, is great right to do right before you go to college, because it's that almost just a little bit more watered down, but you're living with all your friends, you're going to class, you're going to the rink. So it was amazing. David Manning, he was an amazing coach. He's done a great job with that program. And yeah, there's actually three of us right now on the Cornell team that all played at St. Andrews. I know they got a bunch more coming. And yeah, I know Princeton's now trying to get some guys there. Harvard, they big ECAC feeder that school, so it's a great spot.
You are spot on, young man. What about your time in West Kelowna? I know your coach very well from there, Simon Ferguson, who was a
Yeah.
junior player with the Kelowna Rockets in the Western Hockey League. Back in the day, I used to go run their practices, and Simon played on a team that had a guy named Shea Weber on that team. So their team was pretty stacked up back in the day. What was it like to play in West Kelowna in the BCHL?
West Kelowna was great. I thought it was an amazing experience. Fergie was awesome. He was a great coach. Loved playing for him. And then we also had Josh Georges played for the Canadiens, Buffalo.
Don't forget San Jose. He'll get
And
mad at you.
San Jose, yep. And so he was an amazing resource. So he was awesome to just talk to, kind of pick his brain during practice and stuff. So he was an amazing resource there. We actually had Shea Weber come out for a practice, which was really cool. So we got to talk to him, which was great. But yeah, it was great. The BCHL is an amazing league. And then even had a couple teammates there. Also went to the ECAC as well. Ben McDonald at Harvard. He's a great player. So yeah, it was awesome. I really enjoyed my time out west. Got to see a different part of the country as well. So it was really cool.
I think Matty Fusco was on that team too. He's Dartmouth.
Dartmouth as well. Yeah, we got some ECAC guys there.
You guys raised a GPA at West Kelowna High School, I'm sure. I'm only
Yeah.
joking. I'm only joking. My son played in Penticton. He graduated from Penticton High School, and I know how big a rivalry is between West Kelowna and
Oh
Penticton.
yeah.
So,
Yeah.
yeah, pretty amazing. 2022, you get drafted by the Pittsburgh Penguins. How did it feel to have your name called?
Yeah, that was definitely one of the craziest, best days of my life. That was awesome. I definitely remember it. It was the day that I think Rogers had a power outage actually that day. And so I
So,
remember.
just so we can explain it, Rogers is a cable provider for television in Canada. Go ahead.
So the cable company that we had at our house was off. They had an outage, so the TV wasn't working, nothing was working, we couldn't even watch it. I remember my parents got like a illegal stream of it up on the iPad or something, and then I'm just looking at my phone, and I really wasn't trying to pay too much attention to it, especially earlier in the day. I just went about like my normal day, worked out. I didn't go to the draft or anything. And then as I was just watching it, I remember I sat down on the sofa. And I just had like the draft tracker up on my phone, and I just saw my name populate. And then shortly after, I got a call from some people at the Penguins. So that was a really an amazing day. It was the best part about it was just getting to share that with my family. All my whole family was right in the room there with me. So getting to hug them afterwards, just a big accumulation of a lot of hard work, and it takes a village to get to that point. So it was really just amazing to share that moment with my family.
So well said, Luke. Congratulations. That's a really good way to look at it. What was it like to go to development camp with the Penguins?
That's been great. I've been there now for I think four of them was my yeah, this past summer would have been my fourth one there. It's been great. They're amazing people, great resources, and even just getting to a lot of the players are coming in and out of there. Sidney Crosby, he's typically always around when that's going on. So I mean, obviously you get pretty awestruck when you see him walk into a room or see him on the ice. But it's amazing. They have a great facility up there in Cranberry. So it's great spending time there. And yeah, I've really enjoyed it. It's always a dream come true. Even just going to the development camps are really awesome. So super grateful for that.
Any chance to ever meet Mario Lemieux when you were down in Cranberry?
I haven't yet. Haven't yet. Just missed him a couple times.
Yeah, you'll enjoy meeting him. He's a pretty special guy.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Special guy. Hey, one of the cool parts about your career too is that your brother Ian is a defenseman down at Princeton, plays at Hobey Baker Arena, one of the most difficult arenas to play in if you're a forward. Just
Absolutely.
takes no room to play. What's it like to play against them, Luke?
It's actually funny. So we just played against each other last week. And that was actually it's both of our junior seasons, and that's the first time we actually got to take the ice together. Just because I was injured last year, and then he was unfortunately injured my freshman season. So it was amazing to finally after because I mean as we both realized just from being injured you never know how many times you're actually going to have that opportunity to share the ice with your brother. So I think both of us were just trying to soak it all in. It was an amazing moment for my family. I think there was and then a bunch of the trainers from Gary Roberts' gym that we go to in Toronto, about 8 of them came up as well. So I think we had about 16 people at the game last week in Lahaina. So it was amazing to get to do that. It was definitely funny forechecking them. That was definitely a fun experience for me. Got to give them some love taps. So that was great. But it was just amazing to finally get to do that. He's been my best friend my whole life, and I've always done everything with him, training and hockey. So we've really gone on the whole hockey journey together. So finally get to be able to do that at the Division I level, it was incredible. It was a great experience.
So I've been going to Lahaina rink since 1979, probably around when you were born, but I'm only kidding. But in all seriousness, I think it's one of the most amazing places to play. I think it's one of the most amazing places to watch a game. I think it's one of the most amazing places to coach a game. What's important for you, Luke Devlin, when you think about Lahaina rink?
I think the biggest thing is that it really I feel like in a way it helps instill the culture of our team. I think a lot of the way that Cornell is known for playing is built off of the fans and what happens at Lahaina. I think the student section, the people from just the town of Ithaca, and what they bring to every night. They're loud, they're into it. Sometimes they can be a little mean to the opposing team. And I think we really feed off of that identity, and how we approach the game. And I think that that's really instilled in our culture, because we don't want to let them down. We know that they're going to come and bring it every single night. And I think that's why Lion has been such a great, I think even compared to a lot of other teams, especially a big home advantage. And we always try to take advantage of when we get to play at home, because we know how difficult it is for the other team to play when we got all those fans and the ceiling's low, they're right on top of you, and they're in your face. So we just try to carry that into the game ourselves and do whatever we can to just ride that momentum when we're playing.
Just one of the cool things about Lahaina, when Colgate plays there, the fans, especially in the student section, they throw Colgate toothpaste tubes at the players. So I know for a fact, because they've played a lot over the history, that the players from Colgate go pick up the tubes, give them to the trainer, and say, "Hold on, this is my toothpaste budget for the year." So I don't know if the fans are aware of how they're helping the players from Colgate financially, anyways.
That's great. That's great. We got the fish game this weekend with Harvard, so
Yes, you
that'll be a
do.
good one. Yeah.
One of your old buddies is coming into town, Ben McDonald. So it'll be interesting to see how you and Benny Mac play against each other. I was curious. You talked about Coach Manning, obviously at St. Andrews. You talked about Coach Ferguson out in West Kelowna. Tell me about Coach Schaefer, the guy that helped recruit you and bring you to Cornell.
He's amazing. I mean, he really, from out of all the coaches, like he's been so good about just instilling details like within your own game. I think that's what has really brought a lot of Cornell's like success over his tenure there for 30 years. So he's relentless in his approach to coaching. He's hard on you, but he does it in a way that you know you're getting better because of it. And I think that even just when I look at we I had a big freshman class of 10 guys, and when I look at across the board all of their growth as a player over the last 2 years with him coaching, especially defensively, he really gets you dialed in, and you know he's great at going over video with you. He's an excellent motivator. He really knows how to give a good pregame speech and get the room going before the game. So he's been an amazing resource, and he's a guy that I still talk to. I see him around the rink and stuff, and he's great to talk to. He really was an amazing coach.
Cornell's a blue blood program. There's no question about it, but there are only two retired numbers in the history of the program. One is the late Ken Dryden, and the other one is Joe Nieuwendyk, the legendary, Stanley Cup winner, Canadian Olympian, and a Toronto native, even though he doesn't live there anymore, but good friends and best friends with Gary Roberts. Anytime, did you ever get a chance to meet the late Ken Dryden or meet Joe Nieuwendyk?
Not Ken Dryden, but I have met Joe Nieuwendyk on multiple occasions. He's really close friends with Schaefer, actually. They played together at Cornell. And he's around the rink all the time. See him when they go in for the Sunday beer league games. I'll see him in the locker room and stuff. And a few of our guys have been over to his place for dinner. So he's a really amazing guy. He has a place now in Ithaca. So he's been great.
What's the biggest thing you could say about Ben Sire? Because now I know he's coaching your brother at Princeton and you had him as an assistant coach at Cornell. What do you say about Coach Sire and what he did for your development?
I mean, he was actually the main guy that recruited me to Cornell. So I know when he left to go to Princeton, I told him on his way out, like I couldn't thank him enough because he's the reason why I went to Cornell, which I think was one of the best decisions I've ever made. So I'm very indebted to Benny. He was a great guy. I think the thing that I've always respect about him the most is his work ethic. He's the first guy in the arena, last guy out. And if you ever want to do anything extra work, anything with video, like he's always ready to do it with you. So I know that he's carried that to Princeton and he's instilled that in their culture right away because they've really jumped up the rankings in a really short period of time and they're doing great right now. So but yeah, he's been great. He was great for the penalty kill, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, he's a tremendous work ethic.
What's the biggest difference between your new coach, Casey Jones, and your old coach, Mike Schaefer?
I mean, it's interesting. A lot of the hockey stuff I'd say isn't that different. A lot of the systems and the stuff we do on the ice is pretty similar. Jonesy, I mean, it's just a different way about going about the room. I think Schaefer, sometimes Schaefer can get pretty loud sometimes. Jonesy's a little bit more like Jonesy will he'll get up there, but he'll tamper it back sometimes as well. So they just have a different way about handling the room and stuff like that. But from a hockey standpoint, it's really been a seamless transition. And I think that's shown in our play and how we've done so far this year. We've been doing well. And I think that's because they're both as coaches very, very similar.
I had the same career path as your father in terms of, first I was a player, then I was a coach at the pro level, and then I got into the broadcasting business. I didn't get a chance to see my son play live very much, but when I did, I appreciate it. What's it like when your dad comes to a game?
It's incredible. I think I know I speak for my brother too when I say like he's been just such a tremendous part in our journey and I'm sure it's the same with you and your son. Just the advice that you get from him, it's truly tremendous just because he sees it every day at the pro level and what it takes, the habits the guys have. So he's just been a tremendous resource for me. And he's just always been a huge supporter. He's always trying to watch the games on his iPad if he's on the airplane, even if it's, and he'll rewatch it, even if it's 2 in the morning and he can't get to bed, he'll just throw on a game. So, he was able to come up to our game against RPI and then another one the other week. So, it's just awesome. It means the world, to me when he's able to come. I always try to do my best for him and make him proud. So it's great when he's able to come out for a game.
That's such a good way to look at it. Well said, Luke. I appreciate you saying that too, because I agree with you 100%. It's really cool. Here's a big one. You got a chance to watch on the same night a Raptors game or a Leaf game. Which one are you watching first?
I you know what? I gotta in the regular season I would have to say I gotta go with the Leaf game. I've been to a lot of Raptors games in my day now, and I think switching it up with the Leafs is always good. Once it gets to playoff time, I remember watching the 2019 championship run with the Raptors, and watching the playoff games with my dad calling the game is always really really special. And I love going to those playoff games. The atmosphere is awesome. So that would be my answer to that.
Well, that's a good answer. Very
Yeah,
politically correct,
yeah,
smart. So
yeah.
when you watch a basketball game, where do you like to watch it from? Courtside or higher?
I'm not courtside. We our seats are typically 20 rows up. They're great seats. But yeah, it was awesome to get to seeing some pretty cool shots over the years. Over the years from those seats, but they've been some great games.
And when you go to a Leaf game, where do you like to watch from?
I haven't. I mean, I don't really get out to many Leaf games, I guess. So I guess anywhere I can get in the building. I mean, it's not cheap. So anywhere they'll let me in.
Oh, that's such a good one. That's such a good answer. It's interesting. I lived in Toronto for a long time and, I had a chance to do so many of the Leaf games over the course of my career. And I don't think my kids ever went to a game. I
Yeah.
just always watched the games on TV. So what you said, Luke, it was too expensive.
too
It's
expensive. Yeah,
a
I mean that way
very
they can hear you too. You're not hearing you if you're in the building. So,
Oh, you're right. It's a great point. It's a really good point. What's the long-term vision for you? What are your dreams? What are your goals? What are your aspirations? What are you looking to do?
I mean, I think like most people, just I love playing hockey, so I'm gonna continue to try to play it as long as I can. See where it takes me. Obviously, just trying to do what I can to make sure to I am able to make a jump to hopefully the next level. But just really see where it goes. Just continue to try to do my best and get better. And then after that, you're set up with a Cornell degree, which I'm super fortunate and grateful to have. So I'm sure wherever life takes me after that, I'll be well equipped because of Cornell. So very, very fortunate to have that too in my back pocket.
I love that answer. I think it's so mature. I think it's so appropriate with especially with the way things are going now between the Canadian Hockey League, Major Junior Hockey, and college hockey. Have you noticed a difference amongst the way some of the kids maybe you grew up with in Canada have talked about maybe now maybe going to Major Junior first and then going to college? Or is it just standard operating procedure right now?
Yeah, I think with the new rule change, it's definitely I think got some interest now from a lot of the kids. I know growing up in Toronto, most kids are really just focused on the OHL, and that's the dream, that's the goal. For me, just because of my American background and my family, I was always really hoping to go to college one day. But I know that I was, few and far between. Most kids wanted to go play in the OHL, and I think it's been cool. Because there's some teammates with younger brothers now playing the GTHL and in the Toronto Loop, and it's cool for them to be able to do both. And they're like, oh, it'd be great if I could go play in the OHL, and then oh, then maybe I could go to Cornell or college school. So I think that that's really cool because it's providing kids the opportunity to do both, and they don't have to choose a path either way. So I think that's great. I think it would be great for college hockey too, just to be able to get a lot of the top talent from Toronto or from Canada as well. So I think it's great.
We've talked about your path from Memphis to Charlotte to Toronto and now to Ithaca, New York, with a stopover in West Kelowna and even a little bit in Des Moines, I think, in the USHL back in the day for not too long, but a little while. So lots of travel for you on your hockey path, Luke. Are you cheering for the United States or Canada at the Winter Olympics?
I gotta go with the US. Yeah. Again, this gets brought up in the room a little bit. It's funny, but it was 'cause when I moved to Canada, when I was about like 5 years old, I remember vividly the 2010 Vancouver Olympics. And at that point, I had just moved from the US and wasn't a Canadian citizen yet. So I remember cheering really, really aggressively for the US, wanting them to win that gold medal game. And I remember all the kids at school would, poke fun at me for cheering for the US, which I think probably attached me more to that side than anything. It didn't really get me to go over to the Canada side. So I remember just from a young age in that Olympic round cheering for the US. And then after that, it just kind of stuck. I was gonna cheer for the US all the way through.
You got to tell Crosby when you see him, because I called that game with Chris Cuthbert, that gold medal game in 20. You got to tell Crosby, yeah, I was cheering for the U.S. just before you got the golden goal on Ryan Miller.
Incredible goal.
You know what, Luke? It's one of the, of all, you know, I've had a chance to coach in two Stanley Cup finals. I've been around it for a long, long time. Called some amazingly big games around the world. It's probably the loudest I've ever heard a crowd. At ice level was after Sidney got the pass from Jerome Iginla and beat Ryan Miller. It was amazing to be in the building. Like the floor was shaking. It was so amazing. It was unbelievable.
I believe it. Yeah, that was, yeah, what a moment.
You know, the other cool part of it, and you'll appreciate this being a dual citizen, at that time there were 33 million people that lived in Canada, 26 million people. It's the largest TV audience ever in Canadian history. 26 million people watched that game. You were one of the 26 million.
Yeah, that I was. Yeah, wow. That's a great stat.
Yeah, it's one that's very, very approachable on Google. You can
Yeah,
find
yeah,
it there.
yeah.
So let's talk about the rest of the year for you and the path for the Big Red going forward. And hopefully a trip for you guys anyways to Lake Placid. I know you guys are very familiar with Lake Placid at Cornell because of the success of your program. What do you see as being the biggest, let's say, impediment to you getting there?
I think for us it's definitely just the consistency in how we play. I think we have a really young team and very very talented group of guys, and I think we really have done a better job in the second half of being able to stack a good Friday and a good Saturday together. I think in the first half, like it is the case, I think with a lot of young teams, you can come out hot Friday, have a great win, and then you get a little bit ahead of yourself. You're not really as ready to go mentally for that Saturday game. And I think that we've really done a good job of building on that in the second half here of the games. So I think for us, the biggest thing is just continuing to do that, making sure that we're mentally mature as a group. And being able to approach a back-to-back with the one game at a time mindset, taking care of it, whatever's in front of you. So I think that'd be the biggest thing, but definitely a lot of confidence we're going to continue to do that.
Big weekend in Ithaca, New York. You got Dartmouth and Harvard coming in. I watched your games when you guys were on the road against Dartmouth and Harvard, and obviously the win on the Friday night against against Harvard in their building. What makes playing Dartmouth difficult?
Yeah, I think I'm sure a lot of teams would agree they're definitely one of the tougher teams in our conference to play against. They're very well coached, they're very structured, they're very aggressive. And I think like you that was an example where, we had a great game against Harvard on the Friday, and then Saturday we just kind of came out flat. So I think everyone on our team really loves playing against Dartmouth. They're always fun, physical games. Always getting into it with those guys, which is great. So I think we're really excited to play them at home, and I'm sure it's going to be a great battle.
Luke, you've had an amazing hockey journey to date. I know there's so many more great trails and tales for you to tell and follow. I can't wait to follow along. I'm so happy for you. Please give my best to your father, Matt. I'll be watching your brother, Ian, play. And I wish you all the best in your career. Speaking as a former Pittsburgh Penguin, I wish you all the best with the Penguins.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
The ECAC Hockey Championship returns to Lake Placid, New York this March. Witness the first ever ECAC Hockey Women's Championship in Lake Placid on March 6th and 7th, and the Men's Championship on March 20th and 21st. It happens at the legendary Herb Brooks Arena, the home of miracles.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Don't miss the battle for the 2026 title and an NCAA bid. Tickets are on sale now at LakePlacidOlympicCenter.com. ECAC Hockey, the educated decision.